Kids don't come with an instruction set, but you can get some training in what to expect and learn some strategies in how to handle the situations. Family therapist Nicole Kingston is running a workshop for parents tomorrow in Launceston. Hello, Nicole. How are you doing?
Hey, good, thank you.
Now who is this aimed at, this workshop?
Any parent at all, from parents with children in between about 2 and teenagers. So,
if you're up to teenagers, you know, is it still going to work, this stuff, for an 18, for a 28-year-old, for a 38-year-old?
Yeah, actually, somebody contacted me recently and said, I'm thinking of coming along for my fiancé. He's got a few behaviour problems. So I'm like, yeah, sure, come along.
Wow.
Well, behaviour's behaviour at any age, really. So
what are the top kind of issues that people would come to a workshop like this for, if they've got a presenting issue?
Generally a child that they feel needs more attention than they think they should and just struggles with the normal everyday ups and downs of life, where they just don't seem to be coping, everything seems to trigger a tantrum or, a yelling fit or anger or even anxiety. So lots of those issues. Most of my clients will come to me just finding parenting absolutely exhausting. They know it's meant to be tiring, but a lot of families are finding it quite distressing and even traumatic today, and they're not really enjoying being a parent. And they just feel like they can't get any kind of calm. It's just completely chaos, and they don't know how to change it. So usually that's the type of parent that will come along.
If the yelling and the fighting and the unpleasantness is the symptom, what's the underlying cause?
There's a lot of contributing factors. You've got, technology today, which everybody talks about, the role and the impact that plays on our kids, and the chronic overscheduling. So we've got exhausted, tired kids. There's an epidemic of kids with sleeping issues who aren't sleeping from right up to their teenage years in healthy amounts of time. And you've got all the academic pressure. But the underlying really fundamental issue is that our families have shifted from being parent-focused to child-focused today. And this kind of shift, we used to be sort of led, the families were led in decisions and choices and, what TV show they're going to watch and what radio they're going to listen to in the car and what they're going to do on the weekend. The parent led those decisions, whereas today the child does. And the child doesn't really have the cognitive ability to use that effectively and to make good choices. And when they're, I suppose what we've done is we've kind of equated, and I think, that's come across because we're under so much pressure as parents to get it right, and we're so fearful of getting it wrong that we're going to do something detrimental to our kids. So we think that having happy kids means that we're kind of getting it right, and having happy kids means giving them lots of what they want.
Yeah.
But when we're doing that, we're actually missing out on giving them what they need. And what they need is resilience, independent thinking, problem solving, self-regulation, an internal locus of control. And they're the things that help them cope with those normal ups and downs of everyday life, the normal struggles. I'm not talking about like massive struggles like grief or loss or separation or moving homes or starting school for the first time. I'm talking about those everyday occurrences like turning the telly off when they don't want it to be turned off, getting food that they're not really familiar with or that they don't like, sitting, being bored in a doctor's surgery, things like that that they're just not coping with. And when they can't cope, they need something to help them. And the thing that usually helps them is their parents. The way to attract their parents is through their behaviour. They throw a tantrum or they yell. And their parent runs to them. And rescues them and fixes the situation, stops the struggle. And so the child just learns to engage in that behaviour over and over and over again every time something happens to them that they feel uncomfortable about. So it's a kind of a vicious cycle, really.
Wow. Now, when you're looking at dysfunction inside a family, how often is it the child's fault?
That's a tricky question. I don't know if it's anybody's fault. I don't think it's anybody's fault.
I've had whole relationships now where, blame has been flung hither and yon and neither of us were at fault.
I think it's society's fault in a way. I think it's all the pressures that we're under. As children are under enormous amounts of pressure today, their brains are completely overloaded and overwhelmed and overworked. And we are under huge amounts of pressure as parents. And that's just a, you know, melting pot for anxiety and extreme behaviours and just not coping. I don't think parents are coping either. I would say, you know, almost all my clients will say, I absolutely love my child, but I don't love being a mum. I don't love being a dad. That's a really common thing to say today, but it's not really talked about. I think we feel like we're failing in a way if we actually are honest like that. Or even if we ask for help today, we find that we see that as a failure. You know, and it's not asking for help is a really normal, natural human thing to do.
You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. I'm Joel Reinberger. Nicole Kingston is here with us. She's a family therapist. She's going to be running a workshop for parents tomorrow in Launceston. Nicole, what is your underlying philosophy of how parents should be dealing with kids? Is there something that underlies everything you kind of do?
Definitely. It's creating the space for their self-regulation to kick in. So self-regulation is something we're innately born with as human beings. And if there's no space for it to develop, so self-regulation is our ability to manage and support ourselves and comfort ourselves from within. It's the understanding that we can make ourselves happy. We can manage the situation that we find ourselves in. If there's no space for that self-regulation because we're over-parenting or over-engaging or over-talking, then it just doesn't kick in for the child. And if we created that space and if parents learn how to create that space, then the child develops that self-regulation and it just halves your job as a parent because you don't have to micromanage or direct or control or guide all the time, constantly. The child does so much of it themselves.
Does that mean really we have to do less with them and less for them?
Yes, absolutely, definitely. Less talking, less playing, less interaction is okay, less management, definitely, you know, so that the child's brain is the one that's doing the thinking, the working, the managing, not ours. We're trying to manage ourselves and 2, 3, 4 other people's, and that's why we're absolutely exhausted as parents.
There's a wonderful phrase that I've read recently. I'm an addict of advice columns. which are often about family issues.
Yes, yeah.
And this wonderful phrase, which is when changing your behavior to help someone else change their behavior, you know, resetting a boundary, for example, actually, no, I'm not going to do that for you anymore, that you will often get an extinction burst.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that one?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Can you describe what an extinction burst
where
is?
Where the behaviour gets worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, if we're talking about children, they're used to you, they're used to their behaviour working for them. And that means that they're used to engaging in the behaviour. You come to them and you fix the situation for them. When you don't fix the situation for them, yes, of course, they find that even more difficult. But it's really quite quick. It goes from being, you know, I'm really unhappy with this. You're usually fixing this problem for me and now you're not. And sometimes it's just one small upset and then they start to shift. It's really about forging new pathways in the brain so that when they have a problem, they approach it with curiosity, a bit of imagination, a problem-solving ethos, I suppose, rather than panic. I can't do this. I need you to fix it for me.
It sounds like you're going to have a very interesting workshop there tomorrow. If people would like to sign up, is there still space for people to do so?
Absolutely, definitely. You can grab a spot, grab a seat. You can just go to my Facebook page, Nicole Kingston Family Therapist, and you'll find a spot there to grab a seat. That would be fantastic. The more parents that come along, I think, the better, because we are struggling and we find it so difficult to reach out and say, I'm struggling. But once you do, there is so much support there and connection with other parents, which I think is a real bonus of coming along to things like that. You hear people say, I'm going through this, and then you go, oh, actually, I'm going through that too. I'm so glad I'm not the only person I thought I was. And that's really important.
In those kind of groups, there's nothing more satisfying than seeing 3 other people nod when you say your problem, is there?
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't feel so alone. We're so isolated in our homes, on our phones, and we feel like we're the only one that has a child who won't sleep or who refuses to eat their dinner every night or who tantrums all day every day, or even a teenager who's locked in their bedroom on their screen, you know, all night. We feel like we're the only ones, and we're the only ones that don't know what to do. But actually, you know, there's lots of us.
Nicole, lovely to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you.